So, yeah, one of the things that a lot of people are always asking about, I've found, is, how to use, or maybe more precisely, what's the role of social media when it comes to marketing your writing?
Yeah, and beyond asking that, I mean, being on social media and seeing how some people do it, you can kind of see what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, I think that like there's this expectation now that in order to successfully market like pretty much anything, you have to be using social media, which I mean isn't necessarily true, but I feel like there's a lot of pressure on people to use it or, to use it well because they see a lot of, all these success stories of like, random people out there who just started with like some social media account and then suddenly had like hundreds of thousands or millions of followers and, rags to riches and all that stuff, which, it's obviously very rare that that happens. It's the exception, not the rule. And also a lot of those stories don't really go into the details of how exactly that happened. Like, they don't realize maybe that group had like a really big email list or a big mailing list or something before they even went to social media. So there's a lot of confusion on how that all gets there.
Yeah, or some big celebrity saw it and shared it or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's important. That's probably not going to happen to you. You're probably not going to take off and go viral overnight and sell millions of copies of your book. But social media is still a really good tool for boosting your audience and for keeping the audience. One of the important things you want to make sure you do is that you don't rely on one specific platform at all, and at the same time, you don't spread yourself too thin over all the platforms, because either approach is going to be bad for you.
Yeah, that's another thing that like, I've seen that not just for authors, but also just, business in general, where they try to have like a massive presence on like way too many different social medias and they hire like all these people to basically their full-time job is just posting stuff on their social media. And because it is a full-time job, especially if you're maintaining several accounts, because in order to maintain the relevancy, you got to keep on posting and posting. And, in a lot of cases, it's not really like optimized well. And in many cases, it's actually even more effort than it's really worth. Because another question that a lot of people don't really ask right away is, it's not just a matter of how many people you have following you on any platform, it's how does that translate to sales, or how is it translating, to any kind of a conversion for more fans in some way or another? Because I, for one thing, I know that Instagram is really popular right now, and there's a lot of, poets and writers out there who have pretty sizable Instagram followings, but it's like, how often does that following translate into anybody buying your book, is the question.
Right, and how do you convert that into sales? Like, for example, I love Wendy's Twitter account. It's hilarious,
Yeah.
but it's not going to make me want to go eat at Wendy's. So how do you, well, if you, somebody follows it for the funny tweets, and every now and then you tweet a picture of a burger that makes you really hungry, that's how you can, the one way Wendy's can convert into sales. So how can writers do that?
Yeah, because just, on Instagram it's all picture heavy, and I see, a lot of poets in particular that post like, short poems with pictures or things like that, or I mean, some of them don't even post any poetry at all, they just post pictures. But if you're going to do it that way and you get the attention from a picture, it's like you could lead them back to, say, your author website or something like that, and then possibly get them to sign up for your email list so that then maybe they'll know later on when your next book comes out or something like that. But it's very rare that the Instagram post itself is going to lead to a sale, because people don't go on Instagram thinking like, oh, what random pictures could do can I look at today that's going to make me want to buy something, like it's
Yeah.
that's not how it works.
Most that's the same with all the social medias. People don't go shopping for stuff on them.
Yeah.
But and a big part of it is you want to build a relationship with your followers. You don't want to be the guy who's just like, all right, I'm gonna post, guys, I have a book for sale. Hey everyone, my new book just came out. Guess what? My new book just came out. New book, buy my thing. That's not gonna make people wanna follow you, and it's not gonna make people want to buy from you.
Yeah, I would say that's actually the anti-marketing, because I know that I see that all the time in Facebook groups and all kinds of groups online where people pretty much, you see, that's not called marketing, that's called spam, because
Yeah.
they just start spamming links like, buy this thing. It's like, okay, why?
Yeah.
Other than just this is your thing, it's like, is this on a topic that happens to interest me? It's like, did I meet you at a live event? Do I have any impetus or any incentive whatsoever to, purchase this thing? Oh, you put a link there and you said buy this, so obviously the sales will come in by the tens of thousands, obviously,
Yeah, it's sort of like dating. You want to give people a reason to want to get to know you. So you get into the community and you participate. You know, if you're in a, let's say it's Facebook, you're in a Facebook group, post, comment on people's posts, like it, and comment with more than just good job or I like this. You know, actually engage and give people a reason to get to know you and give them content that they're going to like. When people feel like they're getting value from you, they're more likely to want to support you.
Yeah, well, that's the main point right there, is adding value. You get you get more value to you when you add more value to everybody else. Because another thing that social media is good at is recording interesting things. And so, you know, you may actually get people interested in what you're doing without actually ever trying to really push what you're doing or what you're selling by just, you know, recording like, oh, hey, I'm going on a book tour across the country, and you just post pictures of that tour, or you post videos of that tour, and that could just be an interesting thing in and of itself to make people want to follow you, and then the more they get to know what you're doing, then they might take an interest in whatever you have for sale.
Yeah, and it's also not always about posting this, like, what you're expecting to get. So if you post about your book all the time, that's less useful than, let's say you like to cook. This was an example I heard from another author who posts on their Facebook the things that they've cooked, photos of their food, the recipes, and things like that. It has nothing to do with writing, but a lot of people who have found their Facebook through that have actually got interested in their book. So, you know, you have a couple of things you're interested in and just be a regular human being.
Yeah, like in some cases I've seen people sell things completely unrelated to what they're doing. Like I heard a story of, you know, this beauty blogger, you know, this beauty vlogger rather on YouTube, who had like, you know, something like 2 million followers on that, who also happened to be a poet, and she sold something like 16,000 copies of a poetry book. Wow. Just because she mentioned like at the end of this thing, like, oh yeah, I have this new book out or whatever. And people aren't there for that at all. They were just there because, you know, they liked the makeup tips and stuff. But they ended up buying like, you know, tons of her poetry book just because they liked her. And that's really what it comes down to, is it's all a matter of relationships. Everybody asks, how can I make my writing stand out? You know, it's like, well, you make it stand out because people become familiar with it. That's kind of, you know, because all business is human nature, and it's all connecting with each other. And social media can be really good for amplifying that. But, I mean, it doesn't take the place of it, and it's also not going to do all that for you, which sometimes a lot of people think. And another thing is that people seem to think that social media is, like, all that they need. I see a lot of poets and writers that have, you know, they have Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all these things, but then they don't have, like, anywhere for that to lead back to. Like, they don't have a website or even a blog. Maybe every so often they lead it back to, like, their Amazon page or their Goodreads page or something, but that's not really the same thing as having a headquarters. You know, social media is kind of like the outposts. It's like it helps, you know, kind of expand your terrain, but if you don't have, like, a home base, you don't really have anything to funnel people back to.
Yeah, and if those companies go under for some reason, you don't have a backup or a way to contact those people. That's why you don't especially want to rely on one specific platform, but, you know, Facebook and Instagram, Facebook owns Instagram. Facebook goes under, so does Instagram. So if you're using Facebook and Instagram, and those are your two social medias, goodbye, audience. So you want to make sure you have a way that they can get in touch with you and find you if all else fails.
Yeah, well, you see that happen, like, all the time with YouTubers, you know, who amass, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers, and then, you know, they get, like, some kind of violation strike or something, and YouTube cans their account, and it's like, well, there went their entire audience, you know.
Yeah.
That's one of the arguments in terms of maintaining your own email list or your own way to contact your fans, because you control the method of contact, and nobody can take that away from you. Whereas if you've spent like all these years building this up on a social media platform and then just something happens, well, that's a, you know, there goes your entire gold mine, so to speak.
That goes for anything you're a third party on.
Yeah.
And that includes distribution. If you're lucky enough to be in a local bookstore, if that's the only place you're selling your book, you might want to branch out. And even Amazon, because even Amazon is not immune to the economy.
Sure.
If Amazon fails at this point, we're all in big trouble.
Yeah,
but
lots of people.
Yeah, but you want to make sure that you diversify in every way. You're selling platforms, you're contacting platforms, and having your own email address, having something saved where you can contact your followers directly is very important.
Yeah, one advice bit that I heard that, you know, when it came to social media about, like, how many to be on was, they kind of talked about, like, you may want to look at it kind of like college, where you have, like, a major and a minor, where it's, like, because, you know, if you're focusing on, like, five or six different, you know, platforms, you're never going to have enough time to actually do anything. You know, you may as well hire somebody just to manage your stuff for you, which most people aren't in that position. But they say that if you have, like, you know, kind of a major one, like one that's kind of like the forerunner you do the most on, but then you also have one that you do less but still a significant amount, you know, kind of like, you know, your college major and your minor, that might be a good way to go about it, because that way if anything happens to the major, well, the minor is still kind of established and you can build that up to be like the next major, but also it helps with the benefits of different ones, because the other thing is that social media is, they emphasize different things, you know, like Instagram emphasizes pictures, you know, Twitter emphasizes, you know, really, really tiny, you know, amounts of words and syllables, and Facebook is a little bit more versatile, you know, but not necessarily as easy or quick to share as some of the other things. So it's like there's pros and cons to all of them, and so it also depends on what you're aiming to really emphasize.
Yeah, and each one also has its own audience and culture that don't misunderstand that and think that, oh, okay, so only old people use Facebook. Or only, you know, there are other people on Facebook, but Facebook generally trends towards an older crowd, whereas Twitter or Instagram tend towards a younger adult crowd, whereas something like TikTok, for example, trends, you know, not that I would recommend poets use TikTok as your media, it's, you know, stereotypically for kids. So you have all these different platforms that are... they have a sort of a built-in, almost like niche that is the majority of using them, or at least the stereotype.
Yeah, one of the things that's really kind of hard to come up with, like, well, how you should do, you know, social media, or how you should do this as well. It all depends on what your goal is. Everybody's got a different goal, so, you know, you may want something entirely different than the person next to you, and then you both would kind of need different prescriptions.
Yeah,
know, pretty much.
And one more thing to note is that sponsored posts and ads do exist. And you can use them to your advantage. Sometimes some social media platforms sponsor posts in a way that makes it really hard to tell the difference between them and regular posts.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be a good way to boost your following if you can find a specific area and put up an ad or sponsored post if you have something interesting to say.
Yeah. But, you know, I think a major point to take away from it also is just the fact that, you know, social media is... it's a great amplifier for anything, and like all of them are great amplifiers, but they don't take the place of having, you know, some kind of a website or a blog or a home base of your own with more content on it, because it's a great way to share the content that you're producing, but if you don't have like anywhere for them to kind of come back to, you know, and then it's not delivering nearly as much value. So, you know, social media can't really take the place of your own author website or your own author blog or, you know, something along those lines where you can, you know, pull them in and show them more stuff, especially because, you know, there's a limited amount that you can actually share on most of the social medias. Like Twitter with, you know, 140 characters, it's like you can't really, you know, I mean, you could share some, you know, some haiku or senryu on there, but you can't necessarily share, you know, longer poems on that. But you can share a link on there that will come back to a blog where they can see, you know, the poem or the piece of writing or whatever it is.
And that makes your website more popular as well. It drives traffic to your website by using social media to share those links. And it also gives you ownership of that content. So anything you post on your website is yours. Anything you post on the social media is technically property of that social media company.
Yeah, that's another thing that, like, is a lot of poets on Facebook who posts poems in their notes and stuff. And it's like, well, technically, like, you know, I haven't really seen... any real cases where, like, Facebook tried to claim ownership of a poem, you know, but technically speaking, if you post it on there first, technically they're the publisher of it, and they technically have the rights to it because you've done that, so it's just something to be aware of when making decisions on how to post things.
Yeah, and one other sort of side question that's related to this I've seen floating around is, if you post a poem on social media, does that count as it being published?
Yeah, I know, that, and it's a good question because there's a lot of new... you know, rules with the way it is now. And that really depends, though, a lot on the publishers you're going to be sending it to after.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, like, we don't really care if it's been on social media before, and I don't know too many publishers that necessarily do care if you've had it on your own blog or this or that, but, I mean, some of them just don't take things that have ever been published in any capacity whatsoever. They want all original stuff, and so that would count, you know, posting on Facebook would count to them just as much as if you published it in a magazine or an anthology or something beforehand. So that's definitely something to be aware of when doing that as well. But, you know, in that case, though, even just putting it up on your own website to then could count as it being previously published. So
part of it is the reason why they don't want previously published stuff, because some places don't want it because they don't want to try and sell something that's been seen already. It's like giving free samples.
Yeah.
So that kind of depends on that. And one tip I would have also, if you're going to use your social media as an author to try and promote your work, if you're going to have a personal social media as well, and especially if you have either sensitive or inflammatory things that you like to post, maybe have two, have one that's separate. You want to be careful, especially if you're posting politically charged or religiously charged material, that you don't want to sort of isolate your audience.
Well, I would also say if you're posting for, say, different demographics, because, you know, there's some poets who write poetry specifically for kids. So if you also happen to write, say, erotic poetry, you're probably not going to want to put those on the same account, you know?
Yes. Or if you're even if you're posting about your favorite violent movie or video game or something, and you have, you know, it's a good idea to separate if you have something for kids or something for a religious crowd or something for people who have very strong opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of try and keep that separate from everything else.
Yeah. So, you know, I would say that, like, in general, social media, it's in a weird way simultaneously overvalued and undervalued at the same time. Because, you know, I find a lot of younger people, they really just swear by it. They think that that's where, like, everything is happening. But, you know, and it is and it isn't. Because, really, social media has become just the commons. Like, in the old days where, you know, you would, you know, go into, like, town square and there would just be, like, you know, the market area, or there would be, like, you know, people selling things or sharing things or whatever, you know, in a physical space. Now it's really just the internet has become the commons, and social media is where everybody kind of congregates to, you know, talk about like-minded things, and it's just on a scale that never really existed before, because now it's like, you know, you may really be into custom-painted tennis shoes, you know, but you're the only person in your town who's into that, but yet if there's one person in every town throughout the country who's in it, well, suddenly there's a big congregation online that everybody can do that. So that's one of the advantages to that, is that there's, like no matter what you're writing about, there are people out there who are interested in it, pretty much. I mean, you mean some subjects more than others, obviously, but there is at least somebody somewhere who will care, but it's a matter of figuring out how to, you know, get it to them, and social media can be great for that. And one thing you pointed out earlier, too, is the idea of, like, sponsored social media things and ads and stuff. If you do have any kind of a budget, you know, or you are that into your writing that you're willing to actually invest, you know, resources, you know, financial resources into doing it, you know, those aren't necessarily a bad thing, because some of them, it's, you know, you can pay, it's literally just cents per click for something. You can use targeted advertising to point out, like, people who are interested in, you know, say, you know, X, Y, or Z, whatever it is you're writing about. And they will be the ones who, you know, the ad goes to. And, you know, that's a great way to build up the following. Because one of the things that you get with advertising through social media that you won't get through, say, advertising in a paper, is you'll also get some organic traffic that way. Because even if somebody sees something through an ad, then they may tag somebody in it or hashtag it or share it to somebody else or retweet it or reshare it on their thing. So, you know, you kind of get a little bit of an extra boost that way, which is, you know, a nice thing.
Yeah. It's really nice when people share your ads.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess, you know, the main thing to take away from this is just that social media, it's definitely important, but at the same time, it's not the be-all and end-all.
Yeah, and it's a tool. So like any other tool, you can misuse it, you can use it properly, or you can use it for something it's not intended for, but still get the job done.
Yeah.
So.